Let's turn your Bibles, go to John 14. This is so exciting what we've entered into about 3 months ago when the Lord spoke to me and said, if you're looking for me to manifest my promises anywhere else than the veil of your heart, you're out of alignment. And I didn't have a clue what he was talking about. I said, Lord, I don't understand that. And a lot of time when God makes those kind of statements, it's because he's about ready to teach you. He began really show us the veil of the heart, what all's in there and how to enter in to these places in the Lord. And I thought we just about covered everything. And that's the thing. As soon as you think you cover everything, that's where you're just actually beginning. And then he just opened up the Father in a brand new way and the Father dwelling in you. Listen, there's a difference between God being in you dormantly. A lot of people carry God around with them 20, 30, 40 years. They have experiences. They walk in the Spirit, all kinds of things. But very rarely do they ever encounter the indwelling. You'll feel his dwelling like when you're in worship or something, but a daily indwelling of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, those kinds of things to keep that have to be done by his word and by his way. Now look at John 14 here for a minute. Let's look at verse 22. It says, Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, he had already been given the boot from the upper room. Now, John 14, 15, 16, and 17, these words were spoken to 11 men in the upper room by the Lord himself, the final words before his crucifixion, death, burial, and resurrection. He gave some of the greatest revelation on a planet. I mean, it is packed. Every time we make a pass at it, we think, oh man, this is awesome. And then we come to a new level with the Lord, and then he takes us to another level. We've probably preached this four different times in four different lights, but this one is growing magnificently. And so he says in verse 22, chapter 14, he said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself unto us and not unto the world? So he's asking, how will you manifest? That's a question, amen? How will you manifest? When one of the other people asks the question, means I don't have to ask it. All I got to do is jump in to the answer, amen? Because he gives it. How will you manifest to us? How will you do this? Because he told them, in the beginning, he said, I'm going to go prepare a place for you. I'm going to go away. Then I'm going to come back and get you. And then you're going to be with me where I am, not in heaven, future heaven. He goes, I'm going to go prepare a place for you in the Father, in the same place actually I hold in the Father, because I'm in him. And he kept asking them. He says, believe me that I'm in the Father and you're in me. He goes, believe me that I'm in the Father, the Father's in me. Constantly, the book of John, he goes, you must believe that I'm in the Father. I said, but Jesus, all we got to do is believe that you came, and that's enough to get saved. He goes, yes, that's enough to get saved. But what I wanted, and what the Father wanted all the time, is to come and abide in you and live in you. And it was a necessity that they believe that not only Christ was there, but Christ lives in the Father, and the Father lived in him. And he said it probably 20 times in the book of John. You must believe. I'm in the Father, and the Father's in me. Even when Philip asked him, show us the Father. He said, who do you think's doing the works? It's the Father that's dwelling in me. He's doing the works. You must believe. And I said, Lord, why is that so important that we believe that part? He said, because I'm coming to live in you, and I'm bringing him with me. Because it was the Father that wanted to dwell in you. That's why Jesus came. He sent his Son. So he could open the gates, so he could come and dwell, the Father, in you the same way he dwelt in the Son. There was nothing diminished in the Father's plan. Just the way the Son walked, he wants us to walk, because all that abides truly in us. And he said, well, then how are you going to manifest this to us? How's this going to happen? And watch what he says. It's amazing how one little word called the Word, you'll see what I mean in a minute, will change everything. I'm like, God, could you have done this like 20 years ago? Should have helped. Watch what he says. He says, and Jesus answered and said, if a man love me, he will keep my words. He will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our dwelling place with him. Listen, like I said, salvation, you get a new creation. You're a house that God dwells in. But get God to dwell in there, that's a whole different story. Now, you can work real hard at that, or you can do it God's way. But I'm finding out, he said, you'll keep my words. And I said this the other day, Chuck said, I got it. You know, you get that idea, well, if I keep his law, keep his words, keep his commandments, keep his precepts, keep his statutes, keep all this, become a really, really good person. Just do it all by the book. Then he'll come and dwell in me. You'll get nothing but law there and emptiness. Trying to work for that. You're never going to work for a position in God. I said, well, what does he mean by that? Keep his words. And he says it again in John 15. He said, if a man abide in me and my words abide. And I said, what are you talking about? Keep your words. He goes, these words that I'm telling you here in the upper room. What was his message to them in the upper room? All through threaded in the upper room message was John 14, 15, 16, and 17. I'm going away. He must have said it 10 times. I go. He goes, if you love me, you would rejoice. Because I go to the Father. I said, well, that's real good for you. Can you imagine you walking with the Lord 3.5 years, being in his glory every day, and he's telling you I'm leaving? And after that, he comes to you and said, if you really love me, you would rejoice. Because I go to the Father, and he's greater than I. And I'm like, well, why would I be happy about that? You know, I'm glad you're going. Because he goes, I get to go back to the one I love. He goes, I get to go back to the one I've been with from the beginning. Because he abides in me, and I'm in him. I'm going to go back into his bosom. I'm going to go back into the dwelling place of my Father. Because I live in him at a place called his right hand in him. And I'm going back there. And he says, why would that be good for us? And he says it because. Now, notice this. I want to show you something else. Look at John 14. Something else we didn't see. Keep his words. Keep his words. I'm going to show you that in a minute. He talked about the works. We've read this probably 1,000 times. And verse 9, Jesus said to him, have I been so long a time with you, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He said, has seen me, has seen the Father. How sayest then thou, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father? You know what? He's still asking, and the Father's in me. He's still asking you to believe that now. Now, I know every one of us in here have the knowledge that Jesus is in the Father's in him, and all that's in us. Pretty much all of us have the concept, the kingdom of God's in us, Father's in us, he's in the Son, Son's in us, Holy Ghost is in us. We conceptually have all that. Experientially, in manifestation, we do not always have. Amen? We work at it a lot, but we don't always have it. Amen? So watch what he says. Believest thou not that I'm in the Father, and the Father's in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. In fact, he said in chapter 7 or 8, he says, even my doctrine's not mine. It comes from the Father. He goes, it's the Father in me that's doing the works. The Father that's dwelling in me. You know, Christ can be in you and you could have no works because he's not in a dwelling state. You see the difference? There's a lot of people, denominations, you know, all of them. I won't name one of them, but all of them, they have Christ in them. They're born again, but they'll most likely never see any works come from that because there's not a dwelling state there. You see that? Now watch this. So in John, he says this. Here's the part we've missed for a long time. Verily, verily, I say unto you, this is the part I like. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do. Now, a lot of people want to know greater works. You're probably not going to perform a greater quality of work than he did, or he's not going to do that through you because he raised the dead, the lame, the blind, the maimed. All of that. So pretty much every level of humanity was affected by his ministry. There's two things on the greater works. There are a greater level of works because there's more people doing them, but there's also the ministry of reconciliation. You are committed to the ministry of reconciliation. You can take the name of Jesus to somebody. When you lead somebody to the Lord under the ministry of reconciliation, God, through your ministry and the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus, can take a dead spirit and raise it to life again. And not only he could do that yet, because he had not paid that price, that was the greater work, the ministry of reconciliation. That's what he come to prepare for. But watch what he says here. He goes, in greater works than you do. And then this is the part everyone leaves out. Everyone says, yeah, the works he does, we'll do also in greater than these. And then he leaves this last sentence, because I go to the Father. That's why that's going to happen. I'm like, what does you having to go to the Father have anything to do with me doing these works? Well, because you'll be born again. Yeah. Okay, I'm born again. Still don't have those level. He said, because I go to the Father. He goes, well, what did I say before? He told him, he goes, I'm going to prepare a place for you in the Father. I'm not just going there. He goes, let not your heart be troubled. I'm coming back to get you. I'm going to come back and get you. And then I'm going to bring you to where I am in the Father. I'm going to stand at the door and knock on your heart. And when you open, we are going to come in. See, believest thou not that I'm in the Father, Father in me? Because we are coming in there. The same Father that did the works in me, I'm bringing him in with me. And he's going to dwell in you the way he dwells in me. And when he starts dwelling in you the way he dwelt in me, you will see the same works that I did. Oh, hallelujah. It was a booyah. He said something very amazing here. And he says this, now, verily, verily, I say unto you, verse 12, he that believeth on me, he that believeth on me, verse 13, and whatsoever you ask, look at this, whatsoever you ask in my name, whatsoever you ask in my name, I will do it. Now, most of us, probably from at least the age of 1 to 2 in the Lord, began hearing about the name of Jesus. That's been fully covered, right? That's what I thought. Because then I said, in the name, in the name. Except I wasn't getting the same results he was getting, but I could sure shout it. I said in the name. You know, somehow if you think you yell it louder, that's going to cause it to happen. Boy, in the early days, man, we knew everything. You know, 1 year old in the Lord, we knew everything. Kind of like the teenager syndrome, you know. 1 year old, you can't teach. I know everything. I read a Kenneth Hagin book. I read 2 or 3 Kenneth Hagin books the first week I was born again, so I know everything now. Get out of my way. I said in the name. We're at Bible College, Norway's Bible College. There's some wild people come in there, just put it that way. And these two young guys come in there, and they really didn't have no business there. They weren't full of God, but they were full of the devil, both of them. That old got trapped up in one of our dormitory rooms, and, you know, these Bible schools just waiting to go manifest Jesus on somebody, you know. Of course, we knew everything. And I'm telling you, we got entangled. If you've ever got into deliverance and got entangled, and you're full of zeal, and you never let go, you know. The more experiential ones, if they can't get it out, they'll just back off and let somebody else go after it, you know. Because they've already been all night with one of them. Started at midnight. And I mean, that spirit manifested for 8 straight hours. We were on top of them, holding them down. I said in the name! In the name of Jesus, name of Jesus, name of Jesus. Come out! Man, I was gone. My voice was gone. Strength was gone. I mean, in the beginning, we were so full, we knew it was going to happen the first 30 minutes, you know. After about 8 hours, we were so worn out. And that thing was still manifesting. Our instructor comes and said, look, come bring him into the service. And Norval Hayes was there. Not kidding you. He walks right up to that guy. Every one of them had been up all night. Nobody slept. We were worn out. He walks right up to that guy. He's manifesting, flopping around the service. He says, come out of him. I mean, just totally set free in deliverance. Everybody's going, oh, hallelujah, and I wasn't. I'm like, what happened? I mean, why didn't you do that through us? I said the same name he said. I only said it about 1,000 times last night, and nothing happened for me. And he walks up, I said, that is just not fair. I learned something about the name. The Lord said, talk to him about the name. You have to understand what he means by that. When Christ ascended into the right hand of God upon his resurrection, he ascended into the highest known place. the Father, it was his good pleasure to grant him all authority in heaven and earth, gave him power to that name, gave it in his name, gave him authority, power. He said, I will set my king upon the holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Father said unto the Son, ask of me, Son, and I will give you the nations as thine inheritance, the uttermost parts of the earth. Legally, the nations were granted to him in the right hand of God, because he was talking directly about his ascension to the right hand of God. And when he ascended, he says, worthy is the Lamb to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. He told his disciples, he says, all power has been given unto me in heaven and earth. It pleased the Father that in him all fullness would dwell. He says, I will bring a seed out of Jacob, out of Judah, an inheritor of my mountains. When he ascended to the right hand of God, all the mountains became his. All the mountains of inheritance, including Mount Hebron, it came into the right hand of God. And everything was placed under his name. It was placed in his name. It was like a trust. Everything was in him. All the fullness of the Father, all the glory, the power, the riches, the nations, all of it was placed into his name. That's why we go in his name. See, it's all in his name. Legally, God had to do that. Because if you ever have an inheritance, legally, in a trust, they're going to put it in a trust, and they're going to assign that trust to somebody's name. They'll assign assets into that trust. See, all of the assets of heaven and earth, you are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, in the Christ. All of that was put under and in that name. All right? So it's all in the name. It's a legal place in heaven and earth. That all that's in that name, it's how that inheritance is extracted out of that name. Well, that's a different story. What did Ephesians say? That Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. See, you're trying to appropriate the name. I'm going to tell you something. For those who have ears to hear, listen to this. If you're trying to appropriate that name without that name dwelling in your heart, because the heart's the epic center of all things. The righteousness of the faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend up into heaven? Or who shall descend into the deep? But what saith it? The word is very nigh thee. It's in your heart. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. If a man believeth where? In his heart. You're going to have to believe on that name. You're going to have to believe on that name here. Christ will dwell where? Here. In the veil of the heart. We and my Father will come and make our abode in you. Now that name is in there. And everything that's in that name is in there. But how to extract that's a different story. That's what we're learning. How to extract from that name. I'm going to show you two very powerful prayers. If you'll begin praying these on a daily basis, it'll transform your life. Amen. Well, I'm going to show you three. Go to Ephesians 1. Because this is what he wants me to share with you. Very powerful. Ephesians 1 prayer. You're very familiar with these. I'm going to give you some new light on them. Amen. Here's the first one. Chapter 1, verse 16. I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. I understood by reading Kenneth Hagin that he used to pray these prayers early in his ministry. We're seeing a new light, and I'm going to show you that light today. And I'm going to show you the Father doing the works through the early church in the book of Acts. I'll show you directly where the Father did the works. Directly. In his name, of course, but I'll show it to you. Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you. Now, what's the first part here? The spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Christ. If you don't have the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Christ, you're not going to have any way to apply faith, because all it's going to be is just head knowledge. It must be the spirit of revelation. You must have revelation of what's in that name. Everything I just got through going through you with that's in that name came by revelation. We receive that in our journey into the right hand of God. Now notice what he says, that the eyes, verse 18, of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints or in you. He's asking you, the eyes of your understanding being opened, that you may first know the hope of his calling. You got to know what his calling was. What was his calling? Go into all the world, preach the gospel. Yes, I understand that. It's the Father's will that not one would be lost. I understand that. But what happens after you get saved? Is it all over there? The hope of his calling was to receive an inheritance of the nations from the Father. When he ascended to the right hand of God, he asked the Father, and the Father granted him the nations. And he sent his church out to go get them. They were the net. He said, now bring them to me that I may introduce them to the Father, and that I might come in and abide in you. I might bring my inheritance with me, and my Father with me, and the Holy Ghost. All three of us are coming to make residence in your heart, but I'm coming with my inheritance. I'm coming with everything I purchased for you, and I'm going to place it into the veil of the heart. Hope of his calling was his fullness that he received of the Father. The easiest way to explain it, that fullness would be downloaded into the body. Not for us just to run around and have church all our life and very rarely ever touch the fullness, but to have fullness and fullness in manifestation. That was the hope of his calling. He didn't come to be resurrected in the right hand of God for us to walk around powerlessly with no inheritance, with no fullness, to do church in the flesh with a little bit of spirit and a little Holy Ghost jig, you know? It's a whole lot more from church than that. And he says, the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, he made it the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance, that you may know by the eyes of your understanding being opened, that you may understand the riches in glory. You may understand all the spiritual blessings he's granted you in heavenly places, but it's in Christ. If it's in Christ, it's in me, because he brought it with him. It all abides in that heavenly trust account called Christ. He is a heavenly trust. Of all things, the heavenly trust of power and glory and riches and wisdom and strength and honor, joy, peace, happiness, love, all of it's dwelling in him, and he's dwelling in me. I just got to learn how to get loosed, how to get it extracted. Got to get in touch there. It's got to start dwelling in a living state before it distracts. Amen. But he says, but you got to see it. Your eyes of your understanding need to be open. You got to see it. You got to see it. If you don't see what's here, you're going to look for God out here. You're going to look for him to come with a miracle. You're going to look for him out here because you don't see it in there. Your eyes, you can't see this with natural eyes. You've got to see it with the eye of faith, the eye of the spirit, the eyes of your understanding need to be enlightened. I've got an inheritance. It's in me. Everyone say, it's in me. It's in me. Well, when you start seeing that, you'll spend a whole lot more time trying to extract that than go out here running around looking for him. You got to get from out here to in here. And you got to see it. That's why I pray that every day, Father, open the eyes of my understanding, that I may know the hope of his calling, that I might receive of his fullness we've all received, that I may know what the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in me. If you don't know who you are, you'll never become who he wants you to be. If you can't see who you are, if you can't see that there, you're going to walk around looking for it somewhere else than where it is. You're going to be out of alignment most of your life like that. When you're out of alignment, you're not applying your faith in the right place. You're trying to apply faith out here. Get God to come build something out here when he's going to build it inside you first. He's going to birth it from within. You're a son of the living God. You are a spiritual, bona fide spiritual being with an inheritance that's been engrafted into you. It's in a heavenly trust in the name of Jesus. It cannot be stolen. Boy, we talked about a couple weeks ago when God restored the dominion, he restored it into the right hand of God, and the devil could never steal it again. When he gave it to the first Adam, the devil stole it and became the god of this world system. Because he stole it, Jesus, when he restored it, said, I'll put it in a place that's far above him. He'll never be able to steal it. Here's the glorious thing. Far above. I mean, for years we were up in the right hand of God, far above. He goes, now all of that's in you. All the far above, the heavenly places, because it's in Christ, it's all there. See, that blows your mind right there. And the reason why it blows your mind has not been renewed to really how all this works. And so because it's not been renewed, we got all this separation going with God. God's way up there and we're down here. God's way up there. Father! Or Father.
Father, come and heal our land. Come visit us. Hey, I'm inside you. Come visit us. We want your visitation. Heal our land because you're 100 miles away. Hey, I'm right here. My son died and he said, if you would just believe that I was in him, when he came into you, I came in. I'm right here. You have no revelation because the eyes are your understanding, and you haven't learned to move into the veil of the heart for all that to open up wide. See, he'll put the light of his word in there, and when he does, he'll put a lampstand in there and he'll start opening. God, you're right here. More importantly, so you ask for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. God, to start praying that. God, open the eyes to what I have. Give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Knowledge of Christ. Open the eyes of my understanding to what are the riches of the glory of your inheritance in me. If I don't know what's in me, I can't ever extract it by faith. I've got to see it. I can't just hear it. I can't have the knowledge. I got to see it with the eye of faith. Holy Ghost will do that for you if you'll start praying that for you. The more you see, the more you can have. The less you see, the more you'll operate in this system out here. You're going to be in trouble all your life. You play in this playground out here? You can get in trouble. That's the enemy's playground. He's the god of this world system. But what did Jesus say? The thief cometh. He has no place in me. In me, you'll have peace. Out there, you're going to have tribulation. But inside, if you learn to come into the veil and live. All right, go now to Ephesians 3. I mean, you start praying that prayer every day. You come to this church, we're going to teach you how to believe. Because that's what we're learning how to do. We want fullness. I like having a holy dissatisfaction for what is. If you're satisfied with what is, you'll never seek anything else. I have a holy dissatisfaction of what's going on in the church right now because it is never, not ever, going to touch the world like he did. He is going to get us where he wants us. We're going to do it his way. Amen? Let me take you real quick. Don't go there. I'm just going to tell you. Matthew 6:6, he says, when you pray, enter into thy closet and shut the door, and the Father that's in secret will see you, and then he'll reward you openly. He's not telling you to enter into your natural closet. Now, some of us do pray in a closet. I know, hey, you, because this room in his house, he's telling me he prays in his closet. Praise God. But he's really talking about the inner sanctuary of the kingdom of God within you, of the heart. He wouldn't tell you to enter somewhere you didn't have access to. You've been granted access. Everyone say access. Okay? Granted access. Go to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12. Let's look at the access, just so you know where you're going first before you start praying this prayer. Very important. You're going to see something in this next prayer you may have never seen and where it's prayed from. Look at verse 12. In whom, Christ, we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Okay? You've been granted access. Now, let's see where that access is. Look at verse 17. That Christ may what? Dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. We got into that rooting and grounding in love part. So he's granted you access, right, through Christ to the Father. And he says that Christ dwells in your heart, right? So if he's granted access in verse 12 and 17, Christ was dwelling in your heart. That means 13, 14, 15, 16, this prayer that you're about to pray was supposed to be prayed here. If you got your perception that God's up there, you're not going to get a lot of answered prayer because there's a whole lot of room. God sent Jesus to remove all the separation. To make that a reality, you're going to have to get him to dwell in your heart. Dwell. Say dwell. Dwell. That's tangible. That's something you touch and you feel. That's not something that, yeah, Christ is dwelling in my heart. Can't you tell? When he's dwelling, he'll light you up. Amen. The only way you're going to do that is by faith. And the only way to really do that and keep it is holding his word. All right. He's going to pray a prayer. Now listen to this. Verse 13. Wherefore I desire that you faint not, that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who's he praying to? Praying to the Father. Okay?
of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Who's named? You're named in Christ. So he's praying to the Father in the name of his Son. See, you're named in him. So he's going to pray to the Father, but all this is taking place here. Say here. And instead of Father, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father of glory, of whom the whole family on earth is named, of our Lord Jesus Christ here. Where do they abide? Father, we will abide in you and dwell. Okay, if you're dwelling in me, you're there. Amen. If I come in your house, I'm dwelling with you. If I'm not in your house, I'm not dwelling with you. You have a house that I can dwell in, but if I'm not there, if I'm there, I'm in presence, right? I want to feel his presence. Well, when he comes in, you'll feel his presence, because that's what it means to dwell. That is a tangible experience, okay? Indwelling. So he prays to the Father in the name of Jesus. Now watch this. He's going to ask for a grant. Verse 16. That he would grant you. Let's just pray it personally. Father, I ask you to grant me. Okay, stop. So we're asking for a grant. A grant. Say a grant. Anybody know what a grant is? We ask our government for grants. We ask cities for grants. How about asking our Father for a grant? A grant is not something you work for. A grant is free. It's a blessing. Now, before I do this, what he said, he supplies all your need according to his what? In glory. Now, watch what he says, that he would grant according to the riches of his glory. What did he say? You had to know. Your eyes would be understanding and be enlightened to know what is riches of his inheritance in you. The glory of his riches of his inheritance in you. Now he's asking you to grant you from it. In chapter 1 he says, eyes of your understanding will be open that you may know what is the hope of his glory. What is the glory of the riches of his inheritance? That's riches in glory in you. Right? Now he's asking the Father to grant in his name, according to the riches of his glory. See that? According to what he received in that name. Now you're praying in the name. Are you ready? You're praying in the name. Because Father, I ask you, according to the riches of the glory, according to his riches and glory that are in his name, that he inherited in the right hand of God, that's in him, that I'm in him, I'm seated as a joint heir, and he's in me. I ask you, Father, to grant me out of riches and glory. Grant me out of riches and glory to be strengthened with might. That word might, you know what that word is? Dunamis. Dynamite. That's the first level of inheritance. Power. What the Bible say in Acts chapter 1, behold, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Now watch this. Holy Ghost is going to extract that power out of riches and glory. He says, you grant me according to the riches and glory to be strengthened with that dunamis power out of riches and glory, out of your name, out of your inheritance, by your spirit, by your Holy Spirit, into my inner man. You see the transfer? Now watch this. Father, Son, Holy Ghost in you. All of it's happening right here. Father, I ask you to grant me. You can ask him to grant you a lot more. If he can grant you power, he can grant you riches, wisdom, strength, honor. You can put all that into that prayer. Father, grant me out of the veil of riches and glory that's in his name. That's in his name. Father, that might, you would grant me might. You grant me might. Grant me might. Might, strengthened with all power that's in that name, that's in riches and glory, that's in his name, that's in me, grant it the release by your spirit. And you hear the Holy Ghost, watch this. Y'all getting it? Holy Ghost comes in there and says, now this is my turn. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, having received the promise of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came into the right hand of God, and he came and released all that glory down on the early church. That was Acts 2:33. He came into the right hand of God, and Jesus said, here you go. Have some riches and glory. Handed it over the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost dumped it on the early church. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Except the Holy Ghost didn't come to glorify himself. He says he does not come to glorify himself. He doesn't speak of himself. He came to glorify me. What is of his fullness we have all received. Holy Spirit received the fullness out of riches and glory. He brought that fullness and went whoosh and manifested and filled you with the glories of the right hand of God. Holy Spirit is the transmitter. He'll receive of my inheritance. And just so you know, all things are mine that he's receiving from. It's all in me. I'm the trust. I'm the son. Everything's in my name. Understand the name a little different now? Praying in the name a little bit different? You're drawing things out of the name. It's in his name. See, the Holy Ghost is going to receive of mine. And he's going to declare it, disclose it, and he's going to transmit it. Transmit it to you. Now, if he does that with power, we also see in Philippians, he supplies all of your need according to the riches of this world system. That's how we generally go about getting it, though, don't we? He supplies all your need according to his riches in glory. Riches in glory, we all look at it always up there, don't we? You know why? Because we haven't been trained that it's all here. Because the hope of glory is Christ in you. Riches in glory are right here. They're in a heavenly trust account because the kingdom of God's in me. You got to get your mind renewed to that. You got to get your mind and you're going to live out of alignment. And you're going to struggle when you're out of alignment. You're going to struggle with the kingdom. It's all so he grants me. Look at that. You got Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And you want to hear this? He says, where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. If two of you on earth touching anything, it will be done of my Father. Jesus himself said, the Father in me beareth witness with me. So if the Father in him bore witness, can the Father in me bear witness? We got two or three. I got me, the Father, and the Holy Ghost, and we're gathered in his name right here. We're all gathered under his name, Father. So Father, gather. Let's all gather under his name. Let's all come in agreement under his name, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Oh, isn't that good? We're under his name. Here's another one. One can chase a thousand. Your revelation of Christ in you can chase a thousand. Your revelation of Christ and the Father in you can chase 10,000. One can chase a thousand. Two, 10,000. Oh! That stuff getting me excited because it's live. It's living. You're going to have to get out of your head to understand this. If you're one of these people, you're going to have a hard time with this message because you're going, yum, yum, yum. We're making laps around our head right now. It just makes no sense. It's not logical. It's not logical. The Dr. Spock thing is coming up on you. It's not logical because it doesn't happen up here. It happens here. Father, grant me. Grant me. And you want to really know the truth why he was asking to grant the power? Because he wanted Christ to dwell in your heart for you to be rooted and grounded in the dwelling, the Father's love. Like he was talking about the Father being rooted and grounded in the dwelling of love to start dwelling in your heart. Is that good? Let's give him glory. Hallelujah. Acts 4. Now he's going to do the same thing. You're going to love this. Okay, we're going to get verse 24. Hallelujah. Acts 4, verse 24. How many of you going to pray in the name of Jesus differently now? You know why? You have a revelation of what's in that name. Instead of just saying the name, yeah, I know all power and authority, but you knew that here. But if you know more, all the inheritance is in that name. All the inheritance of the Father is in that name. You extract by that name. All three of them play a role. You pray to the Father. The Son contains the inheritance. And the Holy Spirit receives it and then transmits it and manifests it to you. Isn't that good? Man, now we're going to watch it happen in the book of Acts. Remember in John 14 we saw earlier? It said, the Father, he doeth the works. He says, and these same works that I do, you'll do also because I go to the Father. Remember that? And remember I said that the same Father is going to come and dwell in you? And he's going to do the works through you? Let's see what happens right here. Acts 4, verse 24. And when they heard it, they lifted their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God. Now, you remember in Psalms, the Lord said unto my Lord, that was Father saying unto the Son. Now they're going to call the Father Lord here, and I'm going to show you this. When you read Lord in this one, he's talking to Father, and I'll show you. All right, and that's very important. which thou hast made the heaven and earth, sea and all that's in them, by who by the mouth of thy servant David, verse 25, said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and their rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. You see that? Against the Lord and his Christ, against the Father and his Son. You see that? Made a distinction who they're talking to there. Okay? For the truth against thy holy child, if they were calling Jesus against thy holy child, it's referring to him as a second person. You see that? Talking to the Father. That is huge. Everyone say, huge. For of a truth against thy holy child, Jesus, whom thou hast anointed. See, the Father anointed him. Okay? I don't come in my name, I come in my Father's name. It's the Father that's dwelling. He's doing the works. Okay? Both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. Verse 28. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, our Father, Father, behold their threatenings. Now watch this. Who are they praying to? Father. Who are we praying to in Ephesians? Father. Grant unto thy servants, Father. Oh, there's that word grant again. Say grant. Now they're praying again to grant. Grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Right? Look at this. Who are they talking to? Who are they praying to? By, look at verse 30, stretching forth thine hand. What did Jesus say? The Father doeth the works. They're asking the Father to stretch forth his hand. Stretch forth thine hand, Father. Stretch forth thine hand. They understood the Father did the works. But now the Father doeth the works in the name of Jesus. So watch this. They understood this. By stretching forth thy hand, Father, to heal. Signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask you to stretch forth through his name. Stretch forth through his name. Father, how can Father stretch forth his hands if he's not abiding in you? Father, stretch forth thy hand through the name, Father. Stretch it through that inheritance. Stretch it through. Father, heal again, but through the name where all the inheritance lives. So the Father comes and he stretches forth his hands. He goes through that name and he pushes that power right out of that name. You see that? He pushes that power out of the name. And then guess who shows up? The Holy Ghost. Right there. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled and were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word of God with boldness. Holy Ghost come on the scene. The Father came through. He came, he stretched forth his hands, and then the Holy Ghost said, I'll take that. He receives it and goes, whoosh. You see it? Everyone say, amen. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You receive power. What was the second one? Riches. I supply all your need according to those riches in glory. I think we need to start praying these prayers. Start praying them every day. Start praying. Well, he'll just do it when he gets ready to do it. Oh, yeah. And like he's not ready right now. He just enjoys watching children die in the hospital. He just enjoys watching lost people, you know, one after another plummet into an eternal fire. He just enjoys because his church has no power to demonstrate with. He just enjoys that. Just waiting, doesn't he? No, that's not what he said. He goes, you will receive power now. The works that I do, you will do also and greater than these because I'm going to the Father and I'm bringing him to come up into you. And when the Father comes up in you, he's going to dwell in you. The key to it all, praying this every day. I'll be jumping right back in this week of how to move into the indwelling of the Father. I'm going to tell you, it's a little more than putting a CD on and listening to some worship and having a nice presence. You're not going to be able to sustain that. It's upheld by the word of his power. You're going to have to birth the abiding place by his word. But let me tell you this, It's much easier than you think. And let me just, I'll throw this out at you for 2 minutes. Let you meditate on it. Tuesdays, we actually do this. Jesus told the key. He goes, how will you manifest yourself? He said, if a man will keep these words of mine. You know these ones I'm talking in the upper room? If you'll take these words of mine and keep them, if you'll hold them, because if you abide in me and my words abide in you, if you'll take the words and hold them in your heart and don't let them go and keep them there and keep them there and keep them there, eventually they're going to produce the indwelling presence of God. Oh, that's just too easy. It'll be a lot more difficult than you think. You know why? Because the minute you start trying to hold that word there, guess what? You're going to meet the world, the flesh, the devil. You're going to meet your own mentality, your own unbelief, your soul. If your mind and your body's in ascendancy and is running the show in your life, guess what? Your body say, stop. Your mind will say, stop. We have better things to do. You'll have an explosion in your mind of all the things you need to do because it's hard to stay focused in there like that. You know what's breaking that? You know what's breaking that? It's the flesh. Why do you think he prayed that you be rooted and grounded? Love. Why do you think that he prayed first before that indwelling of Christ took place? What did he pray for? Strength. Dunamis. Dunamis strength in Ephesians 3, that he would build your spirit up first so the rooting would take place within. I know it's heavy, but we are going to be heavy. You got to get your spirit built up for that root to take place. The root is the word of God that roots into your heart. As soon as it roots, he'll uphold that place by the word of his power. He'll hold it up. You won't be going like this, like a yo-yo. You. You'll be upheld. Amen.